pray with me.
Wow, Lord, those are powerful words. Through the storm, you are Lord, Lord of all. May we remember that, God, in these days ahead, whether it be this week, next month, whenever those storms come into our lives, whether it's just storms that kind of happen naturally as a part of who we are, or whether it's a storm of persecution, may we know that you are indeed Lord of all, that you are our cornerstone. God, we pray those familiar words we've been praying for several weeks as we enter into this time of looking into your word, your truth for our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Open our hearts. Open our ears. Open our eyes. Open our minds to your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab your worship bulletin if you set that aside. Or grab your Bible. It's whatever. If you have your Bible with you, that's great. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 5. We're going to focus in on those verses 10, 11, and 12 as our focus verses this morning. But I want to read. This today is the last day of our Beatitudes series. This series we've been doing, Living Right Side Up in an Upside Down World. And we come to the end of this, and I want to read this passage, the complete 12 verses. Maybe those first 9 verses will be just reminders to us of where we've been, what we've heard up to this point. But just give a listen, follow along as I read. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now I wonder, as I hear those words, I wonder if the people who were gathered on that hillside with Jesus were shaking their heads and wondering, where did that come from? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. I wonder if they were looking at each other like, wait a minute, I'm not sure I signed up for that. I didn't sign up. I mean, the other stuff, okay, I can deal with all that, but wait a minute. Do I want to be in that group being persecuted? I don't remember that being part of the deal. They're probably thinking to themselves, I wonder, how could that be? I'm not sure I want to go down that road. I wonder, really, is this guy all he's cracked up to be? I mean, look, blessed are you when people insult you. Blessed are you when people insult you? You'll find the approval of God when people insult you, when people persecute you, when they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me? Wait a minute. How are they supposed to wrap their minds around that? I mean, maybe we've read these verses a gazillion times, and never thought much about what persecution might look like in our lives. Maybe we've read these verses a lot and said, and we've just kind of zipped right past them and not thought even one second about what they're really saying, about what Jesus is trying to help us to understand. And that's where we find ourselves today, at the end of this section called the Beatitudes. We've looked at eight very practical statements that Jesus made, attitudes that we are to employ in our lives as followers of Christ. And maybe we've said over the past several weeks, you know, I get it. These new attitudes that Jesus is talking about, they're going to take some work in my life. They're going to take some life change. I mean, I just can't remain the same and be all the things that Jesus was talking about. Maybe we've said, well, I can always do better at hungering or thirsting after righteousness. I can always do that. Or I can always do better at being merciful so that I can in turn find mercy. Or I can always be a better peacemaker so that I might find the approval of God. But wait a minute. To willingly subject myself to persecution as a part of this following Jesus thing? Am I willing to go that far? And yet, those are the words of Jesus to those people on the hillside and to you and I 2,000 years later. Maybe Jesus didn't mean it quite like we seem to understand it. Or maybe he did. You know, for the most part, you and I as American people following Jesus, we have little, if any, idea of what persecution looks like. We have little to zero idea of what it means to be persecuted for our faith. Oh, we might go through people laughing at us, calling us Jesus freaks, or calling us goody two shoes, or just mocking us because we won't indulge in some of the stuff that people around us might. We might get laughed at once in a while. But at least for the time being, we don't really see persecution. We still have the opportunity to do what we're doing right now. To every week gather together as God's people in freedom. Amen. For the time being, church, hear me. To come to a church building, you know, to be able to come to a church building and worship God and adore Him and offer us, sing praises to Him, I mean, that's a big deal. Because in other parts of the world in which we live, our sisters and brothers in those places, they don't enjoy those same freedoms. If you take a longer look at this map, I mean, take a look. Those colors indicate places in the world where Christians are being persecuted. Some of them being killed for their faith. The darker colors, that's the worst. That's where it's happening the most. You can see really quickly that our lives in America are far different than, say, those in India, the Middle East, North Korea, most parts of Africa. We're living life on a whole different level when it comes to persecution. You know, I found several pictures on the internet, and you can go look at them if you want to. I put in persecuted church in a Google search. And I'm telling you, some of the pictures that came up, there's no way I could put them up on the screen. It's too awful. Places where people are dying for their faith because they're being persecuted for boldly proclaiming that they're followers of Jesus. Now, if you grab your bulletin and you look at those verses that are there, the word that Jesus used in verses 10 and 11 for persecution, for being persecuted, the things that his followers would face, that word means to be pursued. To pursue after as you would an enemy. It means to harass. It means to aggravate. It means to irritate. It means to physically, mentally, and emotionally attack or do harm. It means in some cases, torture. And at the very least, to put undue pressure upon another person. That's what that word persecution, persecuted means, as Jesus used it in that passage of Scripture. Now again, I'd say to you, I don't know, it might sound like fun to you, but it doesn't sound like much fun to me. And why are these persecutions coming our way? What does Jesus say is happening here? You're being persecuted. You will be persecuted. Why? Because of righteousness. Because your desire is to live in holiness. Because your desire is to live as a true follower of Jesus Christ. Because we say we follow Jesus. So let me make sure I understand what I'm saying. Jesus says that we are blessed. That we can find the approval of God when we face persecution head on. Jesus says that we can be blessed, that we can find the approval of God, that when we welcome persecution because we love Jesus. Because we want to live our lives in holiness and uprightness. In a way that's pleasing to God in every way. Is that what I'm to understand? Yes. That's what it means. To be a follower of Jesus means that persecution is part of who we are and what we're facing. Why would Jesus say that when persecution comes, we're blessed? Why would Jesus say that this attitude of knowing persecution's coming is something that we should live into? Those are great questions. Let's see if we can jump in and navigate our way through them. One of the reasons I'm convinced that we should do our best to live into this attitude of knowing persecution's coming is because we know that it's not if, it's when. It's not if. Did you hear what Jesus said? Look at that verse again in your bulletin. Blessed are you when persecutions come. When persecutions come. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. It's not if. It's not, oh, well, this could happen to you. It might happen if you're a Jesus follower. No, what Jesus is trying to help his followers to understand is, no, it's not if, it's when. It's when. Persecutions are going to happen to those who follow Jesus because of their loyalty to Him. Because people like you and me are willing to take a stand and to stand firm, to not waver in our commitment to Jesus, to live a life that challenges the moral indifference of the world around us, the lack of integrity that is around us, the blatant anti-God stances that are around us. When we choose to live for Jesus in the midst of that, just know there's going to be friction. I don't know, maybe you've experienced some of that. But if you haven't, there's going to be friction. If we're bold in who we are as followers of Jesus, there's going to be some friction. Because we live under a completely different value system than those who live life far from God. Maybe you've noticed that in our world today. And church, listen, persons being persecuted for their faith, it didn't start yesterday. It's not something new. I mean, people being persecuted for who they are as a follower of God, follower of Christ, man, listen. People in the Old Testament, Abel, I mean, one of the very first children, persecuted, killed for his commitment to God, for his commitment to bring his first fruits to God. Moses, David, the prophets Elijah and Jeremiah, Daniel, and maybe you've heard about those three guys. What was their name? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happened to them? Oh, they only got thrown into the fire. You know, thrown into the fiery furnace. I mean, that's not a big deal, right? And then, you know, the disciples of Jesus, and the apostle Paul. Anybody know what happened to those guys? Anybody know how their lives ended? It wasn't pleasant. James was beheaded. Philip was crucified. Matthew was killed by sword. James the Less was stoned to death. Matthias was stoned, and they weren't sure he was dead, so then they beheaded him. Andrew was crucified and left hanging on the cross for 3 days. Peter was crucified what? Upside down. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten to death with clubs. And there's other stories of those persons who were closest to Jesus and how they met their demise. And throughout the history of the church, it's been the same. Polycarp and Justin Martyr, John Huss, all persecuted. And you know, and I know, we've seen it happening around the world today. Thousands are imprisoned, tortured, and killed every day, worldwide, because they have chosen to take a stand for Jesus. Even right here in America, where religious freedom is still part of the norm or the practice, there's been plenty of people persecuted for who they are as Christians. Famous people, famous athletes, business owners who can't refuse to bake cakes and serve people. Teachers in our school systems. Students in our school systems. People like you and me who claim allegiance to the name of Jesus have faced and will face, we might as well get ready for it. We are not immune to this persecution of which Jesus speaks. Now, I'm not attempting to be a doomsayer And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer today. I'm just telling you, this is what the Word of God says. This is our guidebook for living life, church. This is who we are as followers of Jesus. It is in this book that we read and that we trust, that we know is God's Word for us, a guide for daily living. It's in here. And listen, this is what Jesus said. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember these words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Jesus uses the same word in the gospel as he used in Matthew in the Beatitudes. Oh, and then Paul, he writes to his young protege, Timothy. Listen to this. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Again, Paul uses the same word that Jesus used on that hillside years before. Now there's a second reason that it's important to know that this persecution thing is coming. And helps us to understand why we should live into this new attitude. Listen. Look at verse 12, the beginning of verse 12. There's a great day coming. There is a great reward coming, church. Read it. Make sure you see it, verse 12. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward where? In heaven. There's a great day coming, church. We may not be able to see it on this side. It may scare the bejeebers out of us on this side. But there's a great day coming, church. Sometimes people who suffer under persecution, who find themselves being persecuted for who they are as a follower of Christ, sometimes, man, it's so hard. And, you know, we kind of look around and sometimes we like, what is going on in our world? Why is this happening? Sometimes we, as we talked about Wednesday night in our fuel class, sometimes we forget the big picture. You see, the big picture doesn't end with this life. The big picture is all of eternity. And what God says, what Jesus says is, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. There's a big picture. And we can't miss the big picture for this one small instance. And listen, you know, Jesus says, look, stand firm and endure the hardships that you're going to face in life. And just, you know, I don't know, just for me, I'm going to say this. If I have to stand for someone, listen, I want to be able to stand for the King of Kings. And that's what we get to do, church. The reward that Jesus says is out there for people who endure through the persecutions, who suffer through the storms of life, is heaven. Jesus says to rejoice and to be glad. To make sure we see the big picture. Have you ever thought, have you ever felt like living in today's world is not, I don't know, you just don't feel at home here? You ever felt that way? You want to know why? Church, listen, this isn't our home. This is not home. We're just passing through. We're just here. It's like a little blip on the radar screen. We're just, it's here and it's gone. We're just here for a little while. It doesn't feel like home because church is not home. Heaven is our home. The eternal reward that Jesus talks about is not in this world. We rejoice not because of where we are now, but because of where we're going. The rejoicing and being glad is because we have a future. We, as a church, we, as followers of Jesus, we have a hope. And His name is Jesus. Listen, if we're going to live right side up in this upside down world, we just need to know that it could result in some persecution coming our way. For some, it could be violence of some kind. For some, it could be we're arrested and thrown into prison because of a stand we take for Jesus. For some, it could mean losing our job or losing our life. It might even be repressive rules and regulations about worship, about education, about evangelism. What I don't want us to do, church, is be surprised. Don't be surprised. Jesus says, in this world and in this life, if we are bold enough to follow Him, we can expect some kind of persecution. Listen to those words of Jesus one more time in a little bit different way. Listen to this. Those who are oppressed, mocked, insulted, and ridiculed because they stand for what is right, what is holy, what is just, rejoice and be glad. You will find the approval of God and will gain the eternal reward of heaven. Praise be to God, church, that He counts us worthy to be His followers. Would you pray with me? Lord God, these are not easy words to hear. They're not easy words that Jesus spoke. But I'm grateful that they're there. Because God, they help us to know that You're with us in the long haul. You're with us through every moment of every day, no matter what comes our way. Help us, oh God, to be strong, to stand firm for Jesus' sake, as Your people, in Jesus' name.